Good morning, Luke 418 Fellowship. We're so glad you're here, either in the room or online with us. If you look in the seat pocket right in front of you, you have a visitor card there. If you're visiting with us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We'd love to talk to you a little bit about Luke 418 Fellowship. If you'll fill that out, that'd be great. But we just had a video about Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and that's giving to our missionaries so that they can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere that they go. And that's a worthy cause, and we're going to be given to that as we approach Resurrection Sunday. But today our task is to join together as one body and sing His praises. So let's stand together. Sing, Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us.
Sing, You came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us.
Sing it out.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Sing that again. You came.
You came from heaven to earth to show us the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift Your name on high.
Give Him praise this morning. It's always good to remind yourself of what He's done for you. Amen. And I'm so glad that He didn't look at me and He has a worksheet that says all the good things I did. It's never going to be enough. Amen. In Titus 3, it says this: He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So that being justified by His grace, we will be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. His grace will not let go. Nothing can take us out of His hand. Amen. Let's sing this together. Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak.
Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak. Sometimes I fall in my wandering. But through it all, there's just one thing more precious than the air I breathe. It's grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul. Grace, unending grace, unrelenting grace that won't let go. You took our sin, You took our stain, You took our guilt, now there is no shame. This sorry reward, eternal crown, the endless song, how sweet the sound of grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul, saves my soul. Unending grace, unrelenting grace that won't let go. It's grace that's greater than our past. It's deeper than our Amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul. Oh, grace, unending grace, unrelenting grace that won't let go.
Sing that again. Grace, amazing grace.
Grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul. Grace, unending grace, unrelenting grace that won't let go. It's grace that's greater than our past. It's deeper than our pain, stronger than our sin. Oh, your love forever it will last. Your blood will always save. Grace will always win. Always win. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
At the cross,
where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but
love so amazing.
Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
You can be seated as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you did on the cross. Lord, not only dying a cruel death, but taking on the sins of the world, bearing our burden, because there was no way that we could repay that debt. We thank you that you're not only a Savior who rose from the grave, but that you are with us each and every step, Lord. That you are merciful, that you counsel us through every situation, Lord. And as we go and as we look for you, you will always be there. You will always guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Souls of men, you are the one that we praise, you are the one we adore, you give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost their way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
Sing at the cross.
And at the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, and where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I'm in all to you. I owe all to you. And here my hope is found. Here on
totally in awe of you, and we do owe you everything. So we just pray that we would live a life that would be pleasing in your sight, Lord. That we would be your people, made in your image. That we would remember the teachings and the ministry of Jesus as an example of what servant leadership looks like. We thank you that you looked down from eternity and said, I will send my son. And through that, you give us life and life abundantly. You would bear our burdens, Lord, and you would give us a mission. We pray that we would know with every step, you would be with us. Amen.
There is a truth that's older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hand. Jesus. Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my healing in your hands. God, you walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my
There is no one like you, Jesus. There is no one like you.
Amen, amen. Well, welcome to our sunrise worship hour this morning. I'm so excited that each of you made it here on time, that you got plenty of sleep last night. I hope you all went to bed an hour early so that you don't fall asleep this morning. If you do, the person to their right or left, just give them a nudge and wake them up, and we'll keep going. Listen, before we start this morning, I want to take just a moment, and I want to recognize Mike and Carolyn Speaks. Would y'all come up here at this time? Many of y'all know Mike and Carolyn Speaks. They have been with us from the beginning, right? From the beginning. Let me grab a... Do we have a mic? Can I borrow yours for just a second? There you go. So Mike and Carolyn Speaks have been with us since the beginning of Luke 4:18, and Mike has been chairman of Deacon several times, right? Three different times. He remembers all three of them. He has also been a trustee over the last several years, and Miss Carolyn has been with right next to him during all of this, and they have both been a source of wisdom and support for me as a young pastor, and I just thank y'all for that time. I've brought them up today to share with each of you that they have sold their house here in Mobile, and they are moving to Auburn, Alabama. And I had to say Auburn, Alabama, right, to make sure that I'm for all people, right? All things to all people. But they are moving to Auburn, Alabama to be with your family and to help and support them during as the grandkids continue to grow up and getting to see them and spend time with them. And I just want each of us to share with them how thankful we are for their ministry here and the time that they served here. So let's just let them know how much we appreciate them. Amen. Amen. Mike, would you like to share a word? Would any of y'all like to share a word?
We have been at Luke 4:18 since the beginning. Brother Fred, Brother Ed, we was at Cottage Hill Baptist 35 years prior to then. So we sat under Fred and Ed for 50 years. And it was a glorious time, but we have really been close to David, and I pray that you all will support him as we go the next phase of our life. We'll be praying for you and pray that you'll pray for us also. Thank you.
Before y'all step down, I want to pray for y'all, and let me just say this. Luke 4:18, we don't say goodbye. I don't think that's biblical. We say, see you later, but we recognize this is a sending off. We are sending them to Auburn, Alabama to share the love of Christ, to minister to people, because wherever you're breathing, as I always say, that's where your ministry is. You're on mission there. And so we at Luke 4:18, let us pray. If you'd reach your hands this direction, and we're going to pray for the family as they head to Auburn to do the ministry of God, to share the gospel, and to love on those around them. Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Father, thank you for Mike and Carolyn, for their whole family who's here today, Father. We thank you for their love and their support, and we know that that came through their love for you. Father, you bestowed upon them the love of the Father, and they have simply reflected that to others. Father, I thank you for the wisdom and the counsel that they have spoken into my life that has come straight from your word. So, Father, thank you for their faith in you and trust in you. Now, Father, I pray that you will bless them indeed as they go forth to Auburn, Alabama, to share the love of Christ there, that you will give them divine appointments all around. Father, that you will give them favor with those that they come in contact with. Father, that the gospel of Christ will continue to go forth through their lives, Father, because of their love for you. Now, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for opening the opportunity for them to go and be close with their family during this time. Lord, we love you and praise you, for it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You, love y'all. I'm running around with a mic in my hand. I don't know what to do with it. I remember Brother Fred saying that they used to have a cord with the mic, right? And you're walking with the cord, but he couldn't get past a certain point because of that cord. I'm so glad I have a cordless and never really had to learn about having a cord that would keep me in one place. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Some of y'all rejoice in the fact that we have made it through verses 5, 6, and 7. Excuse me, 4, 5, and 6. It only took us, what, 4 weeks? But we were in that for a purpose. There was a reason, and that reason was for us to see the 7 pillars that are non-negotiables for those who are in Christ Jesus. One body, one faith, one hope, one Lord, one Spirit, and one God and Father of all. Today we're going to move on into Ephesians 4, and we're going to read, picking up in verse 7 through verse 12. It says this, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, This is an incredible passage that Paul is now shifting from. He's still speaking about unity, but now he's talking about diversity of the body. Now, he's already talked about our background being diverse, that the Jews, the Gentiles, the Greeks, we're all now one body. Here, he's not speaking about the diversity of our background, but the diversity of our gifts that God has given to us. As we begin this morning, I was thinking about, and y'all are going to think I'm crazy for saying this, but just randomly, I was thinking about fine china at the house. Who has some fine china at the house? Anybody? How many of you eat on your fine china at the house? I only see three or four hands. How many just has it in a place where everybody can see how beautiful it is? And how many have it just in a box somewhere that's not even put out? I understand. I feel you. That's the same at our house. But I began to think, why do I have fine china? We never use it. We never eat on it. Right? We have like plastic type plates for every day. Then we have our regular everyday glass plates. And then we have fine china that has been handed down from generation, right? And it's right now in a box. Hopefully someday it'll be out and used. But I began to think, why don't we use it? Why do we just keep it away? And ultimately it's what? Our concern about what? Something happening to it. Nobody wants it to break. Can you imagine if Emmy Grace was holding that plate, that fine china, and accidentally dropped it, and all of a sudden mom and dad are, what just happened? So instead, what do? We keep it put up. Today, Paul is speaking specifically about the gifts that have been given to each of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word, and we ask that you would remove me out of the way and allow your word, your breath, to go forth. Father, we recognize that without you speaking, Father, then it's a waste of time. But with you speaking, it says that your word will not return a void. And so, Father, we thank you. Now, Father, I'm fully dependent upon you this morning to share and preach the word of God, your word. So, Father, just fulfill that today. May your name be glorified, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The first thing we see in verse 7 is this. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The first thing we see this morning in this passage is that Christ has given each one of us a gift according to his grace. Every one of us has received a gift. Now, when he says this grace was given, oftentimes we think of salvation, the grace of salvation, salvation grace. Now, grace is receiving something that we don't deserve. Now, Paul is specifically talking here about ministry grace, or the grace that enables us to serve. The ability to serve the Lord with the gifts that he's given us comes from the Lord. Remember, Paul shared with us, as we've seen in his passages throughout Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, that it's by God's grace that we have everything that we have. It's by God's grace that our heart is beating. It's by God's grace that there's oxygen in our lungs. It's by God's grace that we're alive today. And now Paul is saying, it's by God's grace that you have spiritual gifts, and it's by God's grace that you're able to go and use those gifts for his glory, so that no one would boast in anything other than Christ Jesus. Now, when we look at this in verse 7, and he says that grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, we see that not all of us receive the same gift. We all have different gifts. Gifts were given to each one of us, but no one can say, hey, I have nothing to contribute, because it's to each of us, but all of our gifts are different. You know, we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, Paul speak of some of these gifts. We see this also in Romans 12, 4 and 8. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, it says, now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. We talked about this when we were talking about one Spirit. The same Spirit is the one who gives each of us these gifts. And these are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one, and here it is, we're going to see some of the gifts. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, interpretation of tongues. I skipped a line there. And to one, prophecy. And to another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Well, right there, we just saw several of the different gifts that are given by Christ through the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, 4 through 8, we see some more of those. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. And he who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. We see another group of these gifts. But let me just tell you, though we can look in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11, and right here in Ephesians chapter 4 on down in verse 11, we see all these different gifts, but it's not all encompassing. That's not all the gifts that there are. See, we look at these gifts and we say, okay, well, here's like the 15 to 20 gifts, but there's other gifts that God gives us. Every gift is from him by his grace. What about those who have a gift of singing? You know where you need to be? In the choir. And Aaron would say amen. For some of you who have a gift of playing an instrument, or maybe I need to say the gift of having rhythm, there's the orchestra to serve. Some have the gift of hospitality, hosting a community group. Some have the gift of leadership, facilitating a community group. Some have a gift of teaching, and they're teaching in our life groups or also in the equipping classes that we plan to bring back once COVID-19 has fully gone away. But here's the thing. There are a variety of gifts, and we all have different gifts. Each one of us has received a gift and multiple gifts from Christ himself. That's what the scripture tells us. By his grace. As it says in 1 Corinthians, the Spirit does it as he wills, according to his own will. But here's the thing. Though we all have different gifts, and there's a diversity of gifts amongst the body of Christ, all members are of the same value to God. Let me just say it again. There's multiple gifts. All of us, each one of us has been given a gift. You cannot say that I am of no use. You cannot say, well, they don't need me. It's not true. It's not biblical. Each one of us has been given a gift or gifts by Christ through the Holy Spirit. But though there are different gifts, and on a human level we look at it and we begin to categorize, we say, well, this one's more important than this one. And this one's more important than this one. And man, I wish I could be like this one because it seems more important. Listen, in the grand scheme of eternity, when we look at the Word of God, it doesn't matter what gift you have, all are of the same value to God. All. You know, this seems hard to understand in our human context. But if you have children, you understand it. Let me just explain. How many in the room have two or more children? Okay. Think about Christmas time, all right? It's Christmas time, and you're going to purchase gifts for your children for Christmas. And all of a sudden, you purchase gifts. We have Emmy Grace, who's almost 9 years old, and we have Samuel, who is 6 years old. We have a young girl and a young boy. We purchase a gift or two for our kids for Christmas. And guess what happens? Sam's, being 6 years old, may be a very large gift, as in size. Emmy's may be a piece of jewelry. But at the end of the day, Leslie and I have worked really hard at making sure that the value of the two are the same. So it may look different, but the value behind it, how many parents spent all that time saying, I got to make sure that both are of the same value, though it's different gifts that you give them at Christmas time? Have you ever had a kid say, I feel like so-and-so got more than me? I'm sure that never happened, right? And what do you tell them? You don't understand the value. Listen, this costs just as much as that. And so we recognize and understand it's the same thing that we see here. God's saying there's different gifts. We all have different gifts, but those gifts are all of the same value to God because we are all of the same value to our Father. One Father of all, right? Who's above all, through all, and in all. Now, we see in verse 7 that Christ has given each of us gifts according to his grace. We see that they're different, and we recognize that we're all of the same value, and we recognize that none of us can say that we're not needed. But then Paul takes a shift here in verse 8. It's very interesting. You know, in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and 1 Peter 4, we see all these gifts. But in Ephesians 4, we see the gifts surrounded by the exalted Christ. It is the most, when it speaks of the gifts, we see here in Ephesians chapter 4, the center of it all is the exalted Christ. Look at what he says. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Wow. So we see, second, first is that there's gifts given to all men. Second, we see that the gifts are from the triumphal king. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to seem very easy to understand. A gift is just that, a gift. A gift is a gift. Have you ever thought about that? You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And so we thank God, the triumphal king who's exalted on high, for giving that gift to us. You know, oftentimes we can say, look at what I have. But when an extravagant gift is given to us, it doesn't magnify the person who received it. It magnifies the giver who gave it. I'll never forget, when I was 18 years old, I've shared this story with y'all before, but when I was 18 and graduated from high school, my grandmother gave me a car for graduation. Couldn't believe it. When people saw that car, I was so overwhelmed by the generosity of my grandmother that I would say, my grandmother gave that to me. And what did that do? It took it off of me who received it and put the spotlight on the one who was so generous to give it. Now, my grandmother wouldn't have wanted anybody. She's now passed away. Just an incredible woman of God who taught me so much about the Word of God. Love her. I just miss her. She wouldn't want anybody to know about it because the Bible says don't let your left know what your right hand's giving. But whenever I would share, it would magnify the giver of the gift. Brothers and sisters, when we recognize that the gifts that God has given us comes from the triumphal king, our gifts are not to magnify ourselves. No, it's to magnify the giver. We don't want people to say, just focus on the gifts. No, we want people to focus on the giver of the gifts, the triumphal king. So then Paul says, well, let me share with you about this exalted and triumphal king. He says, he who ascended also descended. Now, when he speaks this, many of you have read this passage, and as soon as you see he who had descended, you get very fixated on the location. You start to think, okay, did he go to hell? Like, what's the lower parts of the earth? Like, is that where he went down and got the keys from Satan and they had a big fight and all this, and then he came back and rose again on the third day? There's a lot of thought of what happened when it says he descended to the lower parts of the earth. The ESV just simply says he descended to the earth. Now, I think that we miss it if we focus in on the destination. I think that if we focus in on the location, trying to figure all that out, we're going to miss the importance of the context of this passage. The major point of him descending is that he humbled himself and came to earth, Emmanuel, Christ with us, God with us, the incarnation, the birth of Christ Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. When he says he descended, he stepped forth from heaven, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. It says, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But instead, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And it says, being found in the appearance as a man, he what? Humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wow. So we see here that when it says that he descended, it's about the humility. It's about the stepping down and coming to earth. Now, did he die? Absolutely. Was he raised again on the third day? Absolutely. So not only did he descend, but now he's the triumphal king. Let's look at this for a second. In Ephesians 4, 8, where it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive, a host of captives, and gave gifts to men. He's quoting Psalm 68. Now, you may want to go home and read Psalm 68 today. But Psalm 68 is a hymn of victory. David wrote it as a hymn of victory, a triumphal victory, that they would sing and praise the Lord. Look at what it says. I'll just read a few verses of it in Psalm 68, verse 1 through 4. It says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the desert, whose name is the Lord, and exalt him, exalt before him. It just continues on talking about how he is a triumphal king. But then when you get over to verse 24, there's this procession. It says, they have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my king, into the sanctuary. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens, beating the tambourines. Bless God in the congregation, even the Lord. You are of the fountain of Israel. There is Benjamin, the youngest, ruling them. The prince of Judah in their throng. The prince of Zebulun. The prince of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength, showing yourself strong. We see this procession, this triumphal procession. Listen, Jesus descended. He, Emmanuel, God with us. He walked on this earth for 33 years. He died a sinner's death, taking our sin and our shame upon the cross. But praise God, he rose 3 days later, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Listen, when Paul says and quotes Psalm 68, he's saying that Jesus ascended on high as a triumphal king, that there was a procession. Can you imagine Jesus coming back into heaven as the triumphal King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He had gone down to this earth. He had died on the cross. He had gone all the way for you and I to the death on the cross. And man, 3 days later, he walked out of the tomb. And then he ascended back to heaven. And when he did, can you imagine the triumphal entry, the procession that was taking place? I can just hear it. I just get so excited. And as I was studying and reading this, this song came to my mind. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Now, you know I can't say that without us singing it. So, Brother Aaron, we got to sing this song. And I just want you, as we're singing this, I want you to think about the fact that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, that they were a triumphal entry, a procession of praise for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who had defeated death, hell, and the grave. Let's sing it.
Let's sing it together.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Just so you'll see in the scripture that Jesus truly is the triumphal king. It says in Colossians 2, 12 through 15, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And I love this. When he had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Praise God. He disarmed the rulers. Man, I tell people all the time, don't let the enemy have any more power than he really has. He's been disarmed. Jesus Christ, the triumphal king who has ascended on high. You know, I think of whenever a sports team wins a Super Bowl or a World Series, what do? They bring them into the city and they have a ticker tape parade. Everybody's shouting and excited. I'm telling you, it was a whole lot bigger parade when Jesus started coming, ascending back to heaven as the triumphal King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Which is why Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this right after we just read about him humbling himself. It says, for this reason, God highly exalted him. And he bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. So, we see that every member has been given a gift by God. We see that it was given by the triumphal king. But then we see in verse 11 and 12 and 13 that the reason for these gifts are for the body of Christ. They're for the body, Now, it's to glorify the king, but the gifts that we have been given are to be used for the body of Christ. Look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 through 11. It says this, as each one of us has received a special gift, right? Employ it in serving one another as a good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Wow, that's everything in Ephesians, right? As each one of us have been given grace, a gift, employ it, serve one another. It says in verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Man, I take that very, very serious. Whoever serves is to do so as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. When you serve, you do that recognizing that it wasn't something you could do on your own power, your own strength, but we're called to serve one another, brothers and sisters. We're called to use the gifts that God has given us here within the body of Christ. And even outside of these doors, we're called to use the gifts that God has given. And the beauty is that when we serve, knowing that the strength comes from the Lord, when we speak, knowing that we're speaking the utterances of God, when we use our gifts, knowing that God is the giver of all things, who is magnified? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not you and I. See, we're called to the work of service. It says in verse 12, for equipping of the saints for the work of service. Now, we'll get into this a little more next week, but we're not called to equip the saints just to sit there. We're called to equip the saints for the work of service, that we use the gifts that God has called us. Then it says, for the building up, to build up the body of Christ. God gave you gifts. God gave you gifts not to create superstars, but to build up the body of Christ. Let me just say that again. God gave you gifts not to create a superstar, but to build up the body of Christ. Jesus is the superstar. We reflect Him. Listen, as I study God's Word and I proclaim God's Word, it's not about, well, let me get better and better so that people can see how incredible of a teacher I am. No, because I can't even speak without God giving me the ability to speak. No, it's for the good of the body of Christ that I study and proclaim God's word. It's for the body of Christ that you serve in each of the areas that God has gifted you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, the triumphal King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, we get it all mixed up when we start trying to be superstars. We get it all mixed up when we start saying, well, I just want people to think highly of me. I want them to see how good my gift is that I have. I want them, and they start to, you want them to look at yourself, and we get it all mixed up and we start stealing from God's glory. Listen, it's by His grace and His mercy that you have the gifts that you have. Even the knowledge that you have, the understanding that you have, all comes from God. He's the giver of all things. So it's for the body of Christ. God has gifted each of us for the body. Listen, and we need each one. And all are valuable. Of the same value to God. And then it says, for the attaining of unity. Man. As I said, Christ is not making superstars. No, our gifts are for the whole body. Our unity in the body it's a supernatural unity, comes from the triune God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always in perfect unity, always have been, always will be. But we're called to maintain that unity, and how do we do that? God's given us gifts for us to serve one another, which maintains the unity that God has given us. Now, we'll look more closely at these verses in the days to come. But I want to close this morning by going to a parable. and Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, we see one that many of you have studied, probably memorized, and as I share it, you'll even see. But it's the parable of the talents. It was interesting as I was reading Matthew Poole's commentary on Matthew 25. He kept reflecting back to Ephesians 4, verse 8. And it says this in Matthew 25, verse 14. For it was just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his ability, and he went on his journey. Do you recognize there that there was diversity in the talents that were given? But did the master not value every talent that was given and every person that was given the talent? He continues on and he says, immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. Look at the master's response. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of the many things. Enter into the joy of your master. One had 5, one had 2. Both of them had used them wisely, and they had the same response from God. The same response. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Then it continues on. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But this master answered. His master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. On my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. You know, when you look at this, there was a day of reckoning. Matthew Poole says it this way. He says there was a day of reckoning, and in the day of judgment, God will call into the account of men for those gifts which he has given them, how they use the day of life, the measure of health, their knowledge, their wit, their memory, their understanding, their wealth, their estate, their dignities, their relations, all their natural or acquired habits, all their enjoyments. Were they used for the honor of his name and the advantage of their own soul, sharing the truth of God's love? What do we do with the gifts that God has given you and I? I shared with you at the beginning that a lot of us have fine china, nice plates at home. And we are so fearful that we're going to break them, that we're going to drop them, or that something will happen, and they never get used for their purpose. God gave you gifts for a purpose. Not to be put into a cabinet. Not to be set aside. Not to be held on to protect, to make sure that nothing happens to it, but to use it for His glory, for that which it was purposed for. To use it for the body of Christ, to serve one another. He's the triumphal King. We are not to put it aside in a cabinet. We're to use it for the kingdom of God and for His glory. We're not called to be like fine china hidden away, but to be used every day for the kingdom of God, recognizing that it's His gifts, His grace that has given this to each of us. When the day of reckoning comes, brothers and sisters, when the day of judgment comes, when we stand before the throne of God, what will be said of you for the gifts that God has given you? Will it be said, well, Father, I was really comfortable. Father, I was concerned that I would use it not 100% like accurately. I was just concerned about all these different things. Maybe I don't even use the word concern. I was fearful of all these different things. So I just held on to it. Well, we see in Matthew 25 what takes place. Now, salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we all build with different types of material. Three of which will be burned up in the fire and three of which will be refined by the fire. But it says even if you build with wood, hay, and straw, you'll be saved because of your salvation which is in Christ Jesus. But let me ask you, when you stand before the throne of God, will the gifts that you had be like wood, hay, and straw that were burned up because you did nothing with them? Or will it be like the gold and the precious stones that are refined by the fire because you used them for the kingdom of God?